It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Howdy, how we doing? Hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. If you're a fan of Notre Dame football, if you're a fan of Duke, or if you're just a fan of quarterbacks from college this past year and you're getting set for the NFL draft that comes your way on Thursday night and continues on Friday and Saturday, coming up an hour and 30 minutes from now, Riley Leonard is going to join us, who was in the national championship game this past year. Alrighty, let me tell you that this NFL draft preview is sponsored by Ego, tools that deliver or exceed the power and performance of gas without the noise, fuss, and fumes. For any outdoor challenge, count on Ego. Tools to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. Ego, power beyond belief. We're going to do this right now. Maybe Stu could cue up a little NFL music as well, but I'll explain what we're going to do. Oh, Stu was ready. Ready to go. Oh. Well, actually, we're going to audible here. I thought we were going to, this is live radio, folks. So fade out that music, make it sound horrible and all that stuff. I didn't know that Roman Harper was joining us today. So our buddy Roman Harper is going to join us. I thought we were about to do this segment, because this is what's on my rundown, on who's going to land where. So we were going to give you a destination like Pittsburgh Steelers. And we were going to go around the room and Stu would say, you know, I think Shador Sanders is going to land with the Giants. And Samter said that, oh, he'll land with the Saints, let's just say. And then I'll say, oh, he's going to land with the Steelers. So that's what I was anticipating on doing. But like all good quarterbacks, Omaha, Omaha, we will call it audible. We will not do that here. We'll now punt that to 4:40 p.m. Eastern time. And we're going to do a little prospect profile here. And we're going to do that with Roman Harper, who is about to join us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't you love just how radio works sometimes? Obviously, I do. And Roman Harper does a tremendous job for the SEC Network. And I see that he's joining right now. So whenever I get the clearance that Roman Harper is good to go, we'll play that whole little sounder. We'll do the prospect profile and all that jazz. And then we'll talk to Roman Harper about Jalen Milroe, who is a very, and I mean a very intriguing prospect in this draft. I didn't think he had a chance a few weeks ago to go in the first round. Now he's going to the draft at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So I guess there is not only an opportunity, but maybe even an expectation, at least from the Jalen Milroe camp, that he is going to go at some point in the first round on Thursday night when we have the top 32 picks and we have the first round of the NFL draft come and go. So without further ado, I'm not talking about Freddie Adu. Let's hit this edition of Prospect Profile.
The Combine is over, and the 2025 NFL Draft is almost upon us.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams. The Carolina Panthers select Bryce Young. The Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence.
The Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow.
Let's find out whose stock is falling and whose stock is rising.
Jackpot, baby!
And now it's time for the Zach Gelb Show to give you an inside look at some of the biggest draft prospects in this edition of Prospect Profile.
Alrighty, now we will go to talk about a little Jalen Milroe right now. Roman Harper, the former Alabama Crimson Tide safety, did win a Super Bowl in the NFL, played for the Saints and also the Carolina Panthers. Now does a kick-ass job for the SEC Network. He is kind enough to join us right now as we will discuss about the former Alabama quarterback. Roman, appreciate the time. How you been, my man?
Zach, I'm always good, man. I usually just listen to you on the radio once everything goes down here in Charlotte, but actually getting to talk to you and see your face, man, I'm always happy to say what's up to you. You know that.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So this Jalen Milroe conversation is fascinating to me because at the end of the college football season, I would have said, oh, he should probably go back to college. Now he's going to the draft on Thursday, so I guess he expects to go in the first round. Do you expect him to go in the first round?
I wouldn't use the word expect. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. I've seen crazier things happen than a quarterback getting taken maybe a little bit earlier than what we all anticipate. But look, that last game was brutal for him at Michigan in whatever bowl game that was. But at the end of the day, I thought he should have left as well. There was nothing else that he was going to be able to improve upon or possibly prove or show to NFL guys. Look, if you want to go learn how to play quarterback in the NFL, go to the NFL. That, to me, that's my honest opinion about it. Because you got certain elements and aspects of college that just don't translate over into the NFL. And the only way to really get better at being a better NFL quarterback is getting an NFL locker room, seeing what it's like to compete against guys, having an older veteran quarterback around you, talking to you about your eyes, what the ropes are, fine-tuning your footwork, understanding that in college you're in shotgun all the time. It's just not the same game. As much as college is starting to as much as the NFL is starting to take little bits and more pieces of the college game, it's still different. And so I always, after the season, I thought he should have left. Because at the end of the day, you want to go be a better NFL quarterback. I think you're athletic enough. I think you're good enough. You got the arm strength. You had a lot of highs. And if you came back to college, I think it would allow other teams and GMs to just find more ways to pick more holes in your game. Because that's all they do. The more film they got on you, the more they think they got you figured out and the more holes they put in your game. So go while they know less. And I appreciate what Jalen Milroe was able to accomplish at Alabama. You know, you had this emptiness at the end of the year, at the end of his career, because his last year wasn't as good as the year before. But one thing about Jalen Milroe, he's a special athlete. And I just wish as a quarterback, he made some of the things that are easy. Like some of the easy things you want your quarterback to be able to do, he makes them hard. And some of the hard things that nobody else can do, he makes them look pretty easy. So he has to figure that balance out.
Yeah, and that's the big word, balance. Because I know we all want a franchise quarterback. We all want our quarterback to play great all the time. Like what he did up against Georgia was very special. But then there's games like Oklahoma. There's games like Tennessee where it's just so horrible. Like the ceiling is so high, the floor is so low for him, and he just hasn't been able to give you that average type of middle ground game when I watch him.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts, he was like perfect example if you knew exactly what you're going to get every week. And I was in the Carolina Panthers locker room at the time, and Ron Rivera would come talk to me. He's like, I love Alabama's quarterback. I love Jalen Hurts. I'm like, really? I'm like, everybody else is kind of just not impressed with him all the time. He's like, but I know exactly what I'm going to get out of him every single game. Like for me as a head coach, especially a defensive-minded head coach, I can win with that all day because I know exactly what I'm going to get. I don't get the highs and the lows. I just get the same thing. I can build around that. And so that is what Jalen Milroe has to try and learn to continue to add into his game, is that he has to continue to do just the little things right all the time. So then I can count on that. That second down play call that I know you're super familiar with, I don't need that airmailed. I need your feet underneath you. I need that to be a completion every single time. So those are the little things that, you know, but then you also saw like Jalen Milroe, he was a better thrower of the football than Jalen Hurts was in college at times. Like Jalen Hurts was not the player that he has been. We just underestimated the value of hard work and who Jalen Hurts was, that how much he would improve since he left high school. He's gotten better every single year I've seen him play football since high school. I've seen it. And you're hoping Jalen Milroe has that type of ability as well, that he can continue to improve. Similar system. He also played under three different offensive coordinators when he was in school. So that's another credit that, you know, a lot of coordinators and GMs are going to say, I mean, we just need some stability around the young man because he had all these different coordinators, different coaches every year. And so what fits well with him, let's figure that out. And then let's go feed him that more and not just say, hey, he's trying to pick this this square peg into a round hole.
There's two quarterbacks that get mentioned when we talk about Jalen Milroe. You mentioned Jalen Hurts. Yeah. I also mentioned Anthony Richardson because it was really all or nothing at Florida. And you know what? I'll mention Josh Allen too because he had all the physical tools. The question was, would that accuracy ever come together in the NFL? And obviously did, and now he's the second best quarterback in the game. Like, I know it's tough to do in terms
of... Hold on, who's the first? Who's the first? Pat Mahomes?
Yeah, you know what? Mahomes wasn't talked about, though, as much as the other guys were really talked about.
No, you're right.
But when I look at Milroe, I remember the conversations about Hurts. I remember the conversations about Richardson and also Josh Allen. So, but yeah, in terms of quarterback rankings, that's the way they meant it? Yeah, Mahomes is one. Do you disagree with that?
No. I agree with Pat one. I think I like Lamar over Josh, but I understand it.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Lamar's 0-2 against him in the postseason, you know? So I think that's the tiebreaker. But if you want to tell me Lamar's two, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're an idiot and a moron and a dope. I won't do that. But when it comes to Jalen, where's your confidence? Like, he has the tools. He seems like a great kid. He says all the right things. But where's your confidence that Jalen Milroe puts it together at the next level?
You know, I think because of what I saw Jalen Hurts do, I am more confident in him to be able to do that. But it also has to be the right system. I think where you go, when you go matters. You know, instead of trying to like say, oh, I want to be this top 10 pick, which means you usually go to a bad team. And they anticipate you playing more often right away. And so you're not around the best situation where you're able to cultivate, you're able to learn. I think all those things will matter when my final vote is said. I have the confidence that he will be able to do it. But I think where he goes to matters just as much. Who else is in the quarterback room? Who else is over there teaching him and he's willing to learn and work? Because, you know, Anthony Richardson, you know, he, like you said, such a high ceiling. And, man, this guy looks like a linebacker, like a creative player. And so I understand why he was drafted where he was drafted. Even though I was nervous, I actually thought Anthony Richardson should have went back to college before when he left. But when you say you're going to go top three, top five, I get it, right? And so now I want to say I'm positive about Jalen Milroe, but I'm also hesitant as well because of some of the things I saw in college where it's like, man, I just got to have that throw be made. And it doesn't happen. And whether it was the lack of protection in the pocket, also ball security being a big thing where every time he got in the pocket, sometimes he let the ball go. These are little things that he has to tighten the screws up on if he wants to be ultimately super successful in the NFL. And trust me, that's everybody. It's not just Jalen Milroe. This is the same story told about Roman Harper when I got drafted. I got there, I was a different player than when the time I left. It's because I had to get better. Like, genuinely, you got to get better. Nobody cares about how you get in the locker room. It's all about what you do once you get there. That part of the NFL game never changes.
And if I'm a Jalen Milroe, I would love to go to the Rams. I would love to get drafted by the Steelers. But Roman, I feel like this is either going to be the Browns or it's going to be the Giants. And you may have Malik Nabers in New York. You may have Travis Hunter, which would be fun with the speed in Cleveland. But it feels like Jalen Milroe is going to go to either Cleveland or the Giants. That's my opinion.
You know what? I have no idea. Look, I'm excited for the young man to even accept going to the draft. I think the NFL has done it completely different the last few years, since COVID, really, where all of a sudden they figured out, like, you know, the normal viewers and things, we're fine with not seeing them in person. We're cool with just a bureau cam, put it at a house, and we get to see all the family aspects and all these other things. A lot of people taking more advantage of that. They don't go to the draft as much as they used to. But him going there, he thinks that he has a chance to get drafted in the first round. I don't know about that. I definitely think he's a second or third round pick for sure. That's just what quarterbacks do. But it's also about the experience. Going up there, like, I didn't get that invite. I probably would have went too, and I was a second round pick just to say I went to the NFL draft because it's things we've seen as a young man our whole lives, and you don't actually get to physically do it. And so to even accept the invite is big time for him, and I'm happy for him and his family because he has great family, a great upbringing, and a great personality, and I can't wait to hear him say Roll Tide on TV again like they always like to ask for him to do. And we always celebrate it. So he's another one of us, man, and just really looking forward to him and everything that he's been able to do and accomplish in college. hopefully gets the same type or even close to the same type of success, because I know it's going to be a lot of pressure on him. And I still am confused why he just didn't run the 40 at the combine. He ran a 4.3. Did he not think he was going to run a blazing time? Because I think if he would have did that in front of everybody too, he's going to end up exactly where you're kind of nervous to him being, is that top tier or that first round quarterback, maybe late in the first round. But if he would have ran in front of everybody, the world would still be talking about it.
Roman Harper here with us. When your Saints are on the clock at 9 and they pass on Shedeur Sanders, how would you react to that?
I'm fine with it. I don't think they're set up to win right now. I want them to go get – I think. Look, when you got a top 10 pick, you just are in striking distance to bring in a real impact player right now that can really change your whole organization. Is that Shedeur Sanders? I don't know. I don't even know if they got enough healthy bodies and players around Shedeur to allow him to be who he truly can be. And so that is why I would say I would be slow on the quarterback taking him at 9. Just understand, because you don't have the supporting cast around him to put him in a position to be successful. And so if everybody's comparing Shedeur to a Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins has his limitations, and it's because the players around him have to make their plays too. And so I don't know if he is or he isn't that. I think I want to go either defensive star, and it's a lot of defensive stars in this draft pick. So if the Mason Graham kid slides from Michigan, I think you turn the paper in right now, because that helps you out with the pass rush from the interior side to help with Brian Brzee from Clemson that you got a couple years ago. But it also shores up the run defense, because this guy's a stop sign up front. And so he's better on that side of it than Brzee. So he can really, really help this team. I don't know if he slides that far, but if he does, I like that pick. And then also, and I know the Saints don't do this often, but drafting Will Campbell from LSU might be also in the playing cards as well. I also love Armon Membu from Missouri, the right tackle I watched a lot of. I watched this kid for the last 3 years just destroy people at Missouri. Nobody knows about him, but he's a zone run scheme guy. That's what system he comes from, and I saw him bury people for 3 years. So anytime you can go offensive line, you can't go wrong either.
Before we let you run, Roman Harper, I know, right, with you doing the great work for the SEC Network, you've seen Jackson Dart play a lot. That's yeah. Another guy. I know it's quarterbacks, and this isn't a great quarterback draft class. I would only use a first-round pick on Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, and maybe end up being wrong, but I don't see why Jackson Dart should go in the first round.
So I did not anticipate Jackson Dart going in the first round even when this whole process started. But like you said, that's what happens, Zach. You know, people start loving on him. And look, the one thing I think he does better than most quarterbacks is that he knows how to layer the ball extremely well. That second, third level throw where he needs to put it over the linebackers, crossing, deeper crossing
routes. Unless he's playing Florida, I'll tell you that. He didn't do that well up against Florida.
Well, look, man, Florida finally figured it out by the end of the year. And look, that's Ole Miss's whole deal. I think that's more about being Ole Miss. We are Ole Miss versus, like, just Jackson Dart. Ole Miss has always found a way to lose the game that they're not supposed to lose every single year, not just under Jackson Dart's helm. So, but Jackson Dart's more athletic than you think. He's a tough kid. He played in a great system where you're going to showcase really well under Lane Kiffin. And like I said, he had a ton of talent around him this past year. And so I think he layers the ball extremely well, but his arm's not, like, overbearing. But he knows how to throw a nice, easy, catchable football. But, Zach, man, you know what it is, man. People love quarterbacks, and they're the most overhyped, overdrafted position in the game. And so that's what we deal with. And so you got to try and figure out who needs one and where they're going to fit out or where they're going to be at, because I think it's a couple other ones. The one from Louisville is another quarterback that everybody – yeah, another quarterback that I've never even seen. All of a sudden somebody's talking about him and they love him.
And look, these are a lot of quarterbacks that didn't play all that well. Look at the hype that we've had with Arch Manning the last 2 years. I know Texas is now in the SEC, and there's even some talk, even if he balls out this year, it's not necessarily a guarantee that he's going to go to the NFL draft next year. I can't wait to see Arch. I don't think there's a more intriguing player in college football than him right now.
Well, you know, it's amazing, Zach, and I know the Mannings extremely well, from Archie all the way down, you know, being in New Orleans all those years. I know these guys very personal. And it's amazing to see what family will do around young players, right? And we got a couple of really great examples. But we also, college football with no structure, like who's to blame for some of the decisions and things that are going on with this game right now. You, what you just said about Arch Manning making all the money in the world, living life. All he cares about is being a college student. Why? Yeah. Because he's enjoying where he's at. His parents and everybody around him have cut out all the white noise around you. You just focus on doing this. Everything else is going to take care of itself. There's no rush to grow up when you already know it's at the end of the road because the people in front of you have already done it. They've already seen it. They've already experienced it. We take all the pressure off you. And so Arch gets to just be Arch. He just gets to be a teammate. He just got to be Quinn Ewers' backup last year and was no pressure on him. He didn't even care about it. I don't play. Doesn't bother me. I'm not going anywhere. I chose to come to Texas to be with Texas and learn under Steve Sarkisian and be that quarterback, right? That's what he chose to do. Then you got another example, not trying to call him out, but I'm going to call him out. Nico Iamaleava, all right? You're going to make $2 million plus this year at Tennessee on a playoff team. You choose to leave because you want to outbid yourself, whoever you're listening to in your corner, all right, the adults in the room. And it's a bad deal. Nobody won in this deal, Zach. Nobody. But this is what we're getting in today's game. And you got two great examples of what to do and what not to do. And it's all about – and because everybody's going to treat you like an adult. When money's involved and when big decisions are made, you're going to get treated like an adult. And so I root for Nico to be successful at UCLA. But the bottom line is you took less money than what you want to get going to get in a state that was going to be tax-free to a state that taxes you at a high amount. And you went from a playoff team to a team that's still just trying to be more relevant. And now what is the Big Ten?
He shot himself in the foot. That's what he did. Yeah,
it's crazy, but this is what we're getting right now. So we all got to talk about it because if you don't watch out, you got to know about the pitfalls that are out there in front of you. And I love my father to death, and he's a great man and all these other things, and he coached me in high school. But if I need to sign a contract with a professional team or something, my dad ain't going through it because he's not professional in that. You know what I'm saying? You got to go and make sure you got people around you that's going to help you make the best decisions. That is the benefit of being an Arch Manning more than it is a Nico Iamaleava standing today. Now, we're going to see in 5 years, and all Nico's got to do is go out there and win and win and win more, and then all this goes away. But until that moment is said, we're going to continue to look at both of these examples, what to do and what not to do.
All right, one last thing, and I'll let you run, Roman Harper. Getting back to Alabama, last year at times I thought, okay, they're definitely going to the college football playoff. They stubbed their toe a few times. They're able to get back up, but then at the end of the season.
It was the Oklahoma game, Zach.
That was it. Yeah, that did them in. There's no doubt about that. Where's your confidence with Kalen DeBoer going to year number two?
I'm very confident. I'm still worried about some things that they do defensively, schematically, because I don't understand it. I'm not in the meeting rooms. So if my eyes don't tell me exactly what it is, I question it, but it's okay. It's more than one way to skin a cat. But I love that they brought Grubbs back. He came down from Seattle, so he got his original OC back. And at the end of the day, man, when you go from one leadership group, as in Nick Saban, where you run it with an iron fist for as long as he did, and then all of a sudden you go to Kalen DeBoer, where he really leads by promoting others around him. And so it's a total different leadership style. I don't even know the guys that have been in the building, how they felt the first time they go to the team meeting and music's playing before the player, the coach walks in. They're like, dude, this is so different. This is a personal experience. And they just like, we didn't even know like any of this was even available. Like you couldn't do this because I've only known one way to do it for 17 years with Nick. And it's just one way. And so understanding that, guys now getting your own guys into the system. Everybody kind of having their own sense of freedom, leadership, understanding what it's going to take to win. Also seeing Kalen DeBoer understand what it's like to coach at Alabama, where the first couple games, if you saw his demeanor on the sidelines.
A little different.
You saw that. You saw that. And so as the season progressed, he learned what to do better as well. Because when you're losing at Alabama, we start talking about what T-shirt you're wearing on the sidelines. Now, when you win, you can do whatever you want. But when you lose at Alabama, bro, we pick out anything to be mad at. So this is what you're dealing with. And I think he's going to be much, much better in his second and third year because all he's ever done is won. And so when people that are natural winners, they usually find more ways to win more and more often.
He's Roman Harper, SEC Network, the former Super Bowl champion with the Saints, also played with the Carolina Panthers. Always great with us on the show. Roman, appreciate it. Thank you.
Zach, man, I can't wait to hear myself later on in the radio. Appreciate it, brother.
You got it. We appreciate it. There he is, the great Roman Harper joining us on the show. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back. Kawhi dominates. Cat and Bridges, a no-show. We're talking NBA playoffs when we return.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Samter, I got a question for you. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. How many years have you been at the network exactly?
13-ish since we started in 2013.
So you always enjoy the fodder, maybe in the newsroom, right?
There were days I enjoyed it more. You know, every now and again, it just becomes a little bit of white noise. But
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If someone gets into it with another person,
yeah,
over a sports take,
yeah,
where one person doesn't like somebody else's sports take,
oh, I jump right in,
right? Like you have your fingers basically covered in butter when you're touching the popcorn, right?
Oh, absolutely love it.
I walk into the newsroom during the break a few moments ago, and I see Stu walks right past me. Stu, I guess, is going to the bathroom, or maybe he's going to get a smoke. Who knows? Stu comes back in.
Please tell me he starts arguing with Gallo.
No.
Oh, the Stu-Gallo arguments are fantastic.
Stu walks up to Hickey and basically said, "What are you, a bleeping moron?" He goes, "What's this bleep take?" That Hickey's take is that Ashton Jeanty going to the Raiders would be the worst pick of the draft. And Stu, who I know we like to have fun in the image that we paint Stu. Stu is like very kind, very respectful. I think it takes a lot for Stu to basically just walk up to someone and be like, "What are you, a bleeping idiot? Like, how dumb are you?" And that's basically what Stu just did to Hot Take Hickey. So I, even though I was interested by the rest of the conversation, I did it about face and walked right back into the studio.
Yeah, you got out of there kind of quickly.
Well, I already got my fix because Stu walks up and goes, "Are you the dumbest person here at the network?" Pretty much. Like, that's what you basically said to Hickey. So I go, "Ooh, that's a lot of tea right there." And then I wanted to bring it onto the air, and I want to hear Stu basically recap that whole situation. So I know you're a Raiders fan. Hickey had this take over the weekend that Ashton Jeanty at 6 would be the worst pick that the Raiders could make, and it'd be the worst pick of the first round. Why did that annoy you so much, where you basically walked up to Hickey and said that he's the biggest dope that we have here?
Because, look, I understand the idea that, okay, the Raiders have 1,000 needs, and maybe running back might not be the best route to go when you have a draft pick. But here's my thing. There's going to be someone drafted in the middle, late first round that was ranked 50th or 60th. You can't tell me that drafting Jeanty, a guy who a lot of people have as the third or fourth best player overall,
yeah,
just because he's a running back, how would that be a, like, okay, maybe it's not the best pick, but the worst pick in the first round? There's no way that would be the worst pick in the first round.
Oh, absolutely not. The dude to me is a top five talent in the draft. I said this to him back in September, that he reminds me of a combination of Marshawn Lynch, Alvin Kamara, and Derrick Henry. So if you tell me that you could get Marshawn Lynch, or you could get a Derrick Henry, or even an Alvin Kamara, right? And you get a little mixture of both, how could that be the worst pick of the first round? And also, this draft class, I think it's bizarre because there's a lot of uncertainty of what's going to happen. And I heard someone say this the other day. I forget where they said it. But someone said the other day, like, pretty much who you could draft at 7, you can make a case that, like, at 28, the player could be just as good. That's the range of opinions that people have on this draft class. So here's what I would say to Hickey, Stu, and why I think you're actually right. What else do you want the Raiders to do? So if it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as Cam Ward goes 1, let's say it goes chalk the way that I anticipate it, then at number 2, it's Travis Hunter, 3 is Abdul Carter, 4 is Will Campbell, and 5 is Mason Graham. What else would you want the Raiders to do? Like, you're going to say go draft Tet McMillan? Is that the answer? Or, you know, go draft an offense alignment if it's an Armin Membu or someone like that? Like, yeah, those guys could be good players. But Ashton Jeanty, to me, would be arguably the best player on the board. And if you think it's Tyler Warren, well, the Raiders have Brock Bowers. They don't need Tyler Warren. And the Raiders, too, this is why I didn't get the point and why I disagree with it, is that the Raiders don't have a strong quarterback. We still don't know what the Raiders are playing for. They can't be held to the standard of, oh, it's Super Bowl for the Raiders. I think Raiders fans just want some stability here in the Pete Carroll era. And if for 3 years you have a running back in Ashton Jeanty, who along with Brock Bowers, that becomes a great 1-2 punch with average quarterback play of Geno Smith for 2-3 years, I think that's fine with the Raiders. I have no problem whatsoever if the Raiders end up taking Ashton Jeanty coming up on Thursday night. But man, Stu walking up to Hickey and basically saying, what are you, the biggest Stu Nod that we have in the newsroom? Ooh, that was great. Did he like tug your shirt? Did you guys start throwing punches and haymakers?
No, he was like, well, who's he running behind? And that's why he said they should draft Membu and then take a running back in a second. And I'm like, these guys aren't as good as Jeanty.
I also love when you call out Hickey, his voice goes to a different octave and he's like, what do you mean? How do you think it's a bad take?
He took out his earbuds and put them on the keyboard and started yelling back. Well, it's pretty great.
At least you should feel good, though, if Ashton Jeanty gets drafted by the Raiders. Could we just already cash the ticket for Rookie of the Year?
Oh, that's a great point.
If Hickey's against it, 9 times out of 10, it usually works.
Yeah, this is a good thing.
Yeah. You know, he said to Roy McIlroy, no way he was going to win the Masters. And then he wins the Masters. And then he's like, oh, Bryson, he's definitely going to win. And then it didn't happen. And then he was like, oh, Justin Rose is definitely going to win. And then that didn't happen. Two quick thoughts on the NBA from last night. Kawhi Leonard, is there a more mysterious man maybe in the history of sports? Like, what a bizarre career. NBA Finals MVP with the Spurs, then had that bizarre departure from San Antonio. Remember that the Spurs staff wanted to go meet him in New York and like he basically wouldn't let him do so. His team was hiding him somewhere. And then goes to Toronto, basically wins an NBA championship by himself. I know there's other solid players on that team, but not your typical number two, number three stars that we expect at an NBA championship team. Beat Golden State, already slayed the Heat dynasty, or, you know, mini dynasty that was there. And now is in Los Angeles, has not played for a while, right? Has been hurt, you know, in and out of the lineup. Postseasons come and go. He plays for a game, then he's in the box for the rest of them. He comes back later this season, has been playing well. People are saying the Clippers are a sleeper team. In game one, they lose. And then in game two, as they tie up the series at 1-1, now with this series shifting back to LA, he had 39 points, 15-19 from the field, 4-7 from three. Just what a spectacular performance. And who the heck knows what to expect the rest of the way? Because I can't really trust Denver right now with Malone no longer there and all that uncertainty. And the Clippers, yeah, I love what Kawhi Leonard just did. You still have James Harden on your team, though, and he doesn't usually show up in the postseason. And Kawhi, you don't even know if his body's going to be able to hold up. So what a mysterious guy Kawhi Leonard is. And now for the Knicks real quickly. What a lethargic effort last night. That was embarrassing. And give credit to the Pistons. They tied this up. at one apiece. Now it goes to Detroit. I still think the Knicks are going to win this series, but the Knicks have basically been outplayed seven out of the eight quarters in this series. It was just the fourth quarter where Cameron Payne had 11 points in game one. They went on that 21-0 run. That was really the only quarter that the Knicks were clearly better than the Detroit Pistons. But geez, that was ugly. And you made the two big moves this offseason. And Cat, you know, he didn't play well last night, but Cat's been good for them. Mikal Bridges, wow. He's been terrible. He does really well on the defensive end. And even in a game where he has 19, he had 0 points in the fourth quarter. And with all of that, you had a chance to go knock down a three. You're open to go tie the game, and you were short on it. You could have wiped away all the misfortune, all the negative stuff being said about Mikal Bridges if he hits that three last night, and he came up small. That's an ugly, ugly loss for the New York Knicks. All right, we'll come on back. We will get to what we were starting the 4 o'clock hour with, but then Roman Harper just jumped on in with us, and we enjoyed that conversation with him. So where will these quarterbacks land? Now, what teams are these quarterbacks going to be taking coming up on Thursday, Friday, or maybe even Saturday? We got some predictions to make. We'll make it on the other side. Here's Zach. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. In about 50 minutes from now, Riley Leonard is going to join the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll do a little NFL draft and off-season edition of Overreaction, Proper Reaction. But first, let's try to do this again. Take two. All righty, Stu, give me the music. All righty, I will give you a team. You give me the quarterback. That's how we're going to do this. So what team is going to land the quarterback? Let's start off. We'll go around the room here. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Stu?
I believe it will be Shedeur Sanders at 21.
All righty. Samter.
I mean, does it have to be a draft pick?
Well, what else do you expect them to do?
Aaron Rodgers.
So you still don't think they're taking a quarterback at all, and you're going to bring in Aaron Rodgers?
I agree.
Okay.
If they bring in Aaron Rodgers, they're in win-now mode, and they're going to bring in a guy that's going to help him win now.
I'm laughing. You go, I agree. You were the one that said the statement. Of course you're agreeing with yourself.
I mean, I, Michael Samter, agree with Michael Samter.
Yeah. I will go with Shedeur Sanders. I'm in alignment with Stu. I think Shedeur is falling all the way to 21, which Stu is wild because if we would have said that 2 months ago, you would have said I was crazy. If you said it, I would have said that you were crazy. There's no doubt about that. All righty, the Cleveland Browns. Stu, who's the quarterback?
I think it'll be Kyle McCord later in the draft, kind of a homecoming of sorts, him coming back to Ohio. I don't know if they want that, but that's what they're getting.
Coming home. Come. I don't know if we could sing that song actually anymore, but they may be booing him at when he comes back onto the field. Or if he throws an interception, he's the same guy up against Michigan with Ohio State. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Oof, oof. Anyway, Samter, Cleveland Browns. What's the quarterback?
I'm going to go with Jalen Milroe, that they'll get him early in the second round or trade up into the first round.
Let me tell you, if Jalen Milroe goes to Cleveland and you have the speed and the big arm of Jalen Milroe, even though we don't know if he could put it together or not, and you have Travis Hunter, that could just be a very electrifying offense. Also with the Cleveland Browns saying, hey, we're going to predominantly play Travis Hunter. He'll be a wide receiver first, then a defensive back. I'm going to go Jackson Dart. I'm going to take Jackson Dart for the Cleveland Browns. The New York Giants. The New York football Giants. Stu?
I think it's going to be Jalen Milroe. I think they're going to trade back up maybe to the late first round and draft him. I just think, you know, I think that's the fit. I think they'll be happy taking Carter early and then taking Milroe with their second pick, whenever that is.
Samter?
I'm going to go. The Giants are going to trade back up into the first round and take a slipping Shedeur.
Gotcha.
They do love Shedeur, but I don't think that they could pass up on Abdul Carter. So I think they're going to take Shedeur in like the 20s or late teens.
I'm going to say Jalen Milroe as well. I think the appeal of Brian Daboll with Josh Allen, and he was able to have Josh Allen put it all together, I guess would be the appeal there with Jalen Milroe for Brian Daboll. And I think Shedeur is going to go to the Steelers. So I will go with Jalen Milroe, and you could have that speed connection of a Jalen Milroe with the Malik Nabers. The Los Angeles Rams. I threw this team out there because it wouldn't surprise me if they ended up taking a quarterback. The Rams are very mysterious, and they keep it very close to the vest with the draft. But maybe they take a quarterback now to try to develop him for a year with Matthew Stafford still playing on the field, with the possibility that Stafford could retire at the end of the season, or it being at least year to year in the future of Matthew Stafford each and every offseason. Stu, the LA Rams.
Just feels like Sean McVay, this guy fits what he wants to do and kind of like a project quarterback. Tyler Shuck from Louisville. I think that's the guy for me that I think the Rams will eventually end up with if they draft a quarterback.
Samter, what are you doing with the Rams?
I am going to go. I love this guy, Kyle McCord. I think he's getting kind of overlooked. I think that he kind of has the same body type, same kind of approach to the game, strong arm as Matthew Stafford. So I think that if you're the Rams and you like Matthew Stafford, you like that kind of game, and you're building your offense around him for the short term, then Kyle McCord makes the most sense in the long term.
Hey, Stu, have you been looking off my paper? Because I'm going Tyler Shuck as well.
Yeah, I know. I know we have a few of the same ones, but no, this was all...
Well, actually, am I looking off your paper? Because I'm going to you first.
Maybe.
But yeah, I'm going Tyler Shuck as well. I think it's the developmental part where you could draft this guy, but it's not necessarily calling your shot on the future. And he's a big quarterback. And I think that there is a lot of potential there, even though I don't think he will meet it. But if there's one guy in the NFL that you could argue that could get that potential out of him, why wouldn't it be Sean McVay? The problem is Tyler Shuck is old already. He's like 26 or whatever he is right now. It's like Brandon Whedon, honestly. So if you have him wait a little bit, how long could he wait? Like, he's already 25. He turns 26 in September. So maybe he could be your full-time starter by 27. That's if Stafford retires at the end of the year. But also last year you saw Michael Penix Jr. get drafted. And he's about to turn 25 next month, so who the heck knows the way that that goes. Alrighty, next team, the Raiders. Stu? Actually, I'm going first.
Okay.
I'm going Dylan Gabriel. Smaller quarterback, played really well in three spots, UCF, Oklahoma, and then this past year with the Ducks, quack, quack. I see Pete Carroll maybe saying, okay, he's a smaller quarterback. Russell Wilson was a smaller quarterback. Let's throw Geno Smith to the Wolves first, and then maybe we could develop Dylan Gabriel a little bit. So I'll go Dylan Gabriel just to make sure and ensure that Stu isn't cheating off my paper.
No cheating here. Quinn Ewers, I think, is the guy the Raiders will take. I think they'll wait till the middle of the draft to get their quarterback, and I know he's visited the Raiders. So there's reports that Carroll likes him a lot, so... Quinn Ewers.
He's very underappreciated, too, because he had a good college career at Texas after transferring over from Ohio State, and I think a lot of it's just because we've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for Arch Manning to finally play a full season, so that's maybe why he was underappreciated, but he did a good job the last 2 years, get him to the college football playoff, winning the Big 12, and then this past year get into the SEC championship game. I think he's more of a college quarterback, though, than a pro quarterback. That's just me. Samter, the Raiders.
You know, one of the names I just don't see on anybody's list for the most part and has been overlooked over and over, and we've heard some really interesting things from him. He's won a national championship. Will Howard from Ohio State. I don't think that he's going to be a star by any means, but like, if you're the Raiders and you've got a guy with a winning pedigree like Will Howard who just came in to that program and just lifted them to a natty, I think you take the chance. Maybe later, like third, fourth round, I'm all about that.
I love how we now, it's like Will Howard has winning pedigree because he came alive right in the postseason. But before that, after that Michigan game, they were ready to tar and feather him and run him right out of town. But it's funny how that works out.
But I think when you look back, I think we all kind of see hindsight's 2020. That really wasn't on Will Howard in that game. That was on Ryan Day and Chip Kelly for running the ball and trying to force it down Michigan's throat. Had you just let Will Howard, you know, do his thing and throw it to Jeremiah Smith, it would have been game over.
You're not wrong. Saints, quickly, Stu.
Jackson Dart, I think it happens in the late first round.
Samter?
Dart.
Okay, wow. You guys go Dart and Dart. I'm going to say Kyle McCord. I could see Kyle McCord being the guy right there. For the New Orleans Saints, where, yeah, he didn't play great at Ohio State, but he really did bounce back at Syracuse. I could see Kellen Moore coming from that Philadelphia Eagles quarterback factory, just taking a flyer and see if it's more of Syracuse Kyle McCord, and it doesn't right, necessarily mean that that's you calling your shot, because I think you could get McCord in maybe the third round. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network, Overreaction, Proper Reaction. Next, Riley Leonard going to join us coming up 35 minutes from now.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.